I am Teela, of the Order of Anaset, sent to plead your help. Orcs raided my temple 2 nights past, and my people were slain or taken by foul beasts. I seek heroes to win their freedom.
Have you any gold?
Greetings, and well met, travelers. You have found your way to Dragonreel, a magical journey to the realm of fantasy movies.
Welcome back to the Dragonreel podcast. This is episode 8, Mythica, A Quest for Heroes. I am your host, Chris, and this show's not going to cuckold itself. With me tonight, in chair number 2, she follows the way of the goddess, it's Sharon.
I always have the goddess in my heart. The flame of her love guides me through all I do. And I have fought my way here to the Goblin City to take the... Wait, wrong movie. Sorry. Power over me. No.
Whoa.
Still wrong.
Dial it back. Okay. And in chair number 3, he's lean, he's mean, and as the strongest man among us, he's going to spend most of this podcast unconscious. It's Brian.
Now, granted, that is because I am drinking scotch currently. But
I thought it's because you're grievously wounded by protecting us all.
That's drinking scotch.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, same thing.
All right. Gotcha.
In chair number 4, he'd love to be the Prince Adam to her Teela. It's Pete.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's true.
So, the movie we are going to talk about tonight is one that most people probably haven't heard of because it's a pretty obscure indie feature. Known as Mythica, A Quest for Heroes, but is this the first of a trilogy or an open-ended series?
This is the first of a trilogy.
Okay.
Yay! So
the second one is already released. It's called The Darkspore, and the third one comes out in 2016.
Does the third one have a title?
Yes, it does.
Excellent. Excellent. It would be really hard to release without one. Worried about that.
It's going to be called Mythica.
Mumble.
I love that title.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is going to... So oddly enough, the last time we had Brian talked about...
Mythica the Necromancer.
Hey, Wicked.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right. Time we had Brian on, we talked about... the D&D movie, and that's a strange coincidence because I think that's going to come up an awful lot here.
Yes.
Because it's really hard to compare this, hard not to compare this to the D&D movie. Mainly because this is a better D&D movie than the D&D movie.
Oh, far and
absolutely.
Away. Yep. It's like comparing apples to oranges.
Well, it's more like comparing apples to really shitty apples.
Yes, absolutely.
We're really so shitty Fuji
apples.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, let's summarize this one. This movie has a plot and a story. Oh, was that mean of me?
It even has a couple characters, oddly enough.
Right? And it actually has a D&D party set of characters.
Yes,
they do.
The basic core.
I think that's what I loved about this movie, is that it just really stayed true to D&D. And being a player myself, I have to say, I truly appreciated the fact that they kept to the, the traditional roles. I liked that a lot. So thank you, producers and writers.
Right.
Thank you so much. We love
you. They didn't get lost in creating any new, they weren't trying to redefine any genders in this film
Not at all.
Yeah, it was, look, we're going to have somebody who's going to cast some spells. We've got somebody who's going to be a little bit faith-oriented, another guy who's going to hate her for that, and is going to pick somebody's pocket and be kind of sexy.
Yeah,
and
there's a drunk, and he likes to smack things. Give me the pointy thing, you know.
But yet he had dignity too, and he was loyal.
He had a beard.
Right.
Well, he ended with dignity.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
His whole motivation was for dignity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He was loyal.
I loved his character simply because to me, it felt like the character who is going to be a paladin someday, but he's just not right now.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that you could see that.
I could see it, yes.
Yeah, especially, that's. I like that there's irony right there in that
statement.
There
was, yeah, being blind, and I said, yeah, do you guys get it? Yes, you got it. Thanks. I don't know if our listeners got it, but yeah.
put a drum roll over that.
Yeah, let's see if I can find a drum roll. Oh, we'll come back to that.
So was Thane also like a handsome guy? Oh wait, I'm asking three other men that question.
He's not a bad looking guy. He was just very beardy.
We thought he was. You know, he pretty much reminded me of the dude.
Yeah.
The dude fighter.
Jeff Bridges is the dude. Yeah, as the dude. Yeah.
So Adam Johnson, who plays that character, he's had a lot of roles. He stars in a lot of especially the locally sourced movies here out of Utah. But he's also done commercials for, you know, big video games and whatnot. But we've gone out before in LA and actually run into times when specifically people have mistaken him for Jeff Bridges.
That is completely not surprising to me.
No, yeah, so it very much is, and he, one of his favorite shirts to wear is, you know, of course, The Dude Abides.
Right. And he did a lot of abiding. He was abiding in that cage for quite a while.
Yes,
he was.
We're going to abide a little while we listen to a message from our friends over at Slice of Sci-Fi. Stay tuned.
His comic book bags are made of silk. Celebrities pay him for autographs. People want to hear him describe his RPG character. He is the most interesting fan in the world. I do not always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Slice of Sci-Fi. Stay geeky, my friends.
So, Sharon, you wanted to sum up this movie, so let's get to that first. So, this person that we don't know right away, but we figure out soon, is a slave, who looks like the love child of Kate Winslet and Arya Stark.
Yes.
You know, strangely, Chris, your voice doesn't sound like mine.
Since you just shaded me, so I'm going to let you do this.
Okay. Oh, snap.
So this movie opens with the main character who is I'm going to say exactly what you just said. No, but I see it as a beautiful woman. We can tell she's some kind of a witch or wizard. She has a problem. Her life is horrible where she is. She basically has to escape. She finds and puts together a wonderful adventuring party, some of them willing and some of them not so willing. And then basically they go on a quest and they don't succeed, which I like. And then they run away. And then they do succeed, and the end. But it's much more interesting than that. It's much cooler.
To be fair, the quest that they go on, they don't really fail at. It's just that they had bad information.
Yeah,
they complete the quest. They had a little side thing in the meantime.
But they did run away from the orcs. So,
When you're that outnumbered, why not?
Yeah,
they were only first level. So,
right. Well, and I love the fact that it is essentially the quest to me was. Go save the princess. And yet it did have, it's a steak and potatoes quest, but it had a little differences. The princess is somebody's sister. The princess is a priestess, and it's not really her we're actually after. It's actually the item that she has.
Yes. Yeah, that she was given by her, what do I call him, a bishop?
By the
something that I loved about it, too, is when, is it pronounced Merrick? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, when Merrick is in the bar, I adore the fact that she tries to get people to listen to her, and no one will join her. And it reminds
me. She gets thrown out, yeah.
Yeah, she gets thrown out. And it totally reminds me of a character that I played in D&D where I stood up on a table, and people said, get down, beer wench. And
well, to be fair, you were actually the beer wench of that tavern.
Well, I was, yes. But I was
That was her name, not a, you know, right. A superlative.
Maybe you shouldn't have named yourself that.
That was actually her last name.
It wasn't my name. My name was Kismet. But because Kismet that Gerwin. Happens, yeah. That happens in a D&D game, is people try to be the hero or the heroine, and people just go, oh, no, we're not going to, you know, why do we want it? 200 silver pieces, that's nothing. And I thought that part was very, very realistic for a fantasy movie.
She was the one who brought the party together. And so, I mean, she wasn't the one who had the mission. Teela, the priestess, had the mission, but she brought the group.
Yes.
Yeah, she had sort of the drive. She wanted something different out of her life. And no matter what she saw something that she could do or something that she should do to try and change her stars, you know? Which, and I love the fact that this is an adventure where the group meets in a tavern.
Yes. Which I thought was wonderful because I was like, oh, this trope.
Oh, that bar was full of tropes. I mean, there was a trope. Of tropes. There was a trope serving drinks.
Yes, but I didn't mind the tropes because it was like mistakes happened. Like the whole, you know, no one wanted to join her group. And I thought that was terrific. But I loved her spunkiness. And I loved the fact that her will just held the whole group together through the whole thing.
I like the fact that it's moments like the bar that shows that there were parts that they didn't take themselves so seriously.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That there had to be those moments to lighten up the mood.
Oh, I loved the job board. The quest board up behind the dwarf.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It was like a beast from the depths, status alive, or wanted dead or alive, wanted dead. You know, not
playing. How did you guys like Hammerhead?
I loved his eyebrows.
Eyebrows were astonishing.
I thought they were going to fly off his face and attack somebody at any moment. I really did.
Yes.
So I got to be there for the filming of one of the days that they shot him. That's Christopher Robin Miller. He's a fantastic actor, one of my friends. And he's just like, seriously, I couldn't stop laughing because it's such an awesome dwarf. Yes. I mean, that was straight up right in line with Hobbit dwarf.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
You know, just that intricate, and you look at him and you're like, your eyebrows, I don't get it, but man, they work.
Yeah.
I know this is going a little backwards, but do you have a line of his at the end?
A line of his. Yeah, I have a line of his.
Yeah, give us a line of.
It is not the will of the goddess.
Whoops.
How much for an ogre's ear?
An ogre's ear, you say? I'd say that's worth a free drink and a smidgen of respect.
Done.
Yeah. So speaking of D&D tropes, Sharon played a D&D character who was mocked endlessly for being overly brave and just standing up in front of, you know, these monsters that were about to kill her and saying, my goddess would protect her. And every single person at the table said, no, it just doesn't work that way. Well, I just want to point out something that, you know, that Teela's sister said early on when she knew she was about to get captured by the ogre, and here it is.
Run, Teela. The goddess will not let me die.
So it does happen.
So you need to say that all the time, and everyone mocked me. And you know, I'd walk in and people would just laugh, and it was like, yeah, she thinks that her goddess will protect.
But yeah, it was only the gamers in the campus center would laugh.
Yeah, so I was about to say, it's not one of those things where you have like a frat party going D&D, D&D.
You've obviously never been to West Hollywood.
Gosh.
And another D&D trope is they specify, I mean, like, it seems to me that they try to make this feel like the same kind of world where D&D exists, because specifically the wizard can't heal. I mean, she says, can I learn a healing spell, and he flips her this.
Not a holy man. You need a healer. The magic is not an art of faith, but of understanding.
In other words, you use your intelligence score, not your wisdom.
Yeah.
Chris, wait, I'm drooling over Kevin
Sorbo. Do you need a minute?
I love him. Well, we met him at Origins.
Yeah, we met Kevin Sorbo at Origins.
Oh, did you? That's cool.
Nicest fellow you could talk to.
Did I feel his muscles? I know I had a fantasy.
I think
about...
you did. I think did he let you feel a muscle.
He was so sweet to me, though. Because I had my cane there. And we had to get some things for our friend's kids, some autographs. I mean, we paid to get his autograph, but he just was very kind. And I mean, you know, some people are phony kind and not really sweet in their heart, but, you know.
He's genuine. I
mean, he seemed genuinely happy to be there amongst people who wanted to talk to him.
Yeah, and his muscles are genuine, too.
And my conversation with him was, I've never seen anything you're in, but these kids really love you. Could you sign these? And so we just kind of shot the shit with Kevin Sorbo for 10 minutes about, you know, what's good, what to avoid,
Okay, now that's nice. Chris. I used to watch Hercules. So actually, I'm just saying.
I feel terrible because I met the entire cast of... And I drew a blank just then. Bam. Farscape. I met the entire cast of Farscape at Origins 2005, and nobody was coming up to talk to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I just walked up, and I had a had like a 15-minute conversation with them. And Lanny Tupu, who was much darker and longer,
last year.
He stood up and leaned into me, and I leaned into him, and we did the Harpo Marx thing.
Nice.
We just kind of moved our heads back and forth in time and stuff like that, because you could have been my stand-in. But I would have loved to meet Kevin Sorbo. That's why I was wondering what's Origins it was.
That was last year, I think. Maybe the year before.
Huh.
It wasn't this last... Yeah, it wasn't this last June. It was the June before because...
It was the same one where we met Ian Griffith.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. His voice. Yeah.
Well, you really need some serious time alone.
No, I'm sorry. You know, teaching kindergarten today with no air conditioning, I just have to say, when I think of these handsome men... It takes me to another land, like my dream land in my mind. You know, when the kids go, Miss Dudley, where are you?
So this movie was funded with a Kickstarter, but they had other funding as well.
Yeah, to my understanding, they actually had financing, but they also this company, Aerostorm, likes to sort of get their fans involved, as it were, and have them fund and finance part of it and be... you know, part of making it and part of the adventure and get things from Kickstarter. And they've really done Kickstarter well and have successfully funded, I think, 4, maybe 5 different films, at least to completion with Kickstarter.
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah.
See, that's also a good way to kind of gauge your audience too. You know,
yep,
to see
absolutely.
Sort of enthusiasm behind the backing.
And
exactly.
It's really nice to see something of this kind of care and quality and effort on less than $1 million.
Oh, here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did you say? You think it was about 400?
You know, having talked to them before, I mean, I have no idea what the actual budget is, obviously. But I know that they like to play between 250 and 400.
Okay.
I'm guessing
most of that was spent on the 3 minutes of Kevin Sorbo here.
Quite possibly. I do know that for this Kickstarter, they had 1,527 backers that raised them a total of $94,294 from Kickstarter.
Great googly
movies. This film.
Wow.
What was their initial goal?
I don't recall what the initial was. I actually didn't look. I think they had hit stretch goals.
Very cool.
For that. So I'll go look. If I find it real simply, I'll let you know.
Okay.
So Kevin Sorbo's name is in the movie. What is his name? What is his character's name?
Gochun Pai.
Okay. All right. So he has to leave the village because there are too many things going on.
Do you want me
Is
to tell you?
Is that leaving? Yes.
There's too many eyes. Too much lust for power. I've stayed too long.
That's what he said.
Ah, excellent. Okay. Now I understand. So,
but don't worry, because he'll see her later.
Yes, but not this movie.
No, no. Nope. But there's the promise.
Spoiler.
There is a promise. So I hope that he's in movie number 2.
Or three.
Yeah, because he says, and he also tells her, you know, she says, but I don't have anybody else. I don't have any friends. And he says that good friends are not that hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's true, though. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think that once you're out actually in the midst of the adventure, that's where the friendships really get forged.
Yeah.
You know, when you're watching each other's back and trying to help each other out and come up with a decent strategy. Which, might I say, that conflicting strategy moment before they attack the dwarves, loved it.
Orcs?
Orcs?
Yeah, they don't attack the dwarves in this.
The orcs. Before they attack the orcs, I just love the back and forth of oh, we can do this. No, we should definitely do that.
I think this has a soundbite for that.
A little girl of Italian.
Oh, no, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, no.
So apparently, I don't have that. Apparently.
Sorry, but that's too bad.
Well, at least the goddess didn't tell you not to.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did find that Kickstarter. It was a $75,000 goal, and they got $94,000.
Nice.
So they did hit a couple of extensions on that.
Very cool. Okay. So she meets this dashingly, or as I like to think of him, irresponsibly handsome rogue in the back of a wagon who obviously is on a, is there hiding out. He's on a mission.
Roll, roll, roll in the hay.
I love the fact that his mission is merely to get to the next village to play with the commander's wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because as we all know.
Wow, wow.
Magistrate isn't going to cuckold himself now, is he?
No, he cannot.
Indeed, he cannot.
One of that was kind of, that's one of those tropes. It's, yes. He's roguishly handsome and he's the thief. Yes. But his goal was not to just pickpocket her. He did it without even, the only attention they drew to it was, crap, my money is gone.
Yep.
Yes. Right.
He almost did it, like, mindlessly. Like, oh, yeah, I got to take this. See ya.
And once she confronts him about it later, he's like, oh, I spent it.
Yeah.
On women and why.
Kind of what I do.
Very expensive women, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Do you want something from that? I got nothing for you. You know.
Exactly.
Yep. And this is actually... So Pete and I were not sure if he was supposed to be an elf, but on rewatching it and on capturing the sounds, I heard Thane say this when they were actually capturing him.
Could we maybe discuss this somewhere else?
Take your time, elf.
He called him
an
elf.
See, I realized he was an elf later because I got to see the pointed ears.
The pointed ears, exactly.
But when he first says it, it almost sounds like he says oaf.
I agree.
So,
and it could be confusing for blind people watching the show because... I agree with both of you that, well, I couldn't see the ears, and I didn't catch that line until Chris just played it
right
now.
Part of the problem that I had with this movie, and the main issue was that a lot of the lines that were significant were kind of mumbled. There was, if I could have put subtitles on, I would have, because we missed a few things the first time we watched it.
Yeah.
And we watched it a couple times, and Sharon watched it twice, I watched it twice, and I captured sound from
it,
so I heard some new things I didn't hear before. But I really, you know, wanted to, I think some of this should have been clearer.
And when Chris and I watched it, we actually backed up a few times just to make sure we'd heard what we'd heard.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but good thing about this, two fairly strong female leads, and they carry the movie. This is not a movie about a guy, and also there happens to be a girl there.
It's almost about a girl, and there happens to be a couple guys there.
Right.
Yes. And beside the fact that the women were strong, they were interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. And I liked how the cleric, I liked the little story arc, how the cleric could not heal Merrick.
Yeah.
There's going to be more to it, but I really enjoyed the scene on a very deep level when Merrick then is asking again the goddess. She's talking directly to
the goddess. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, she's like, and, you know, listen to me. And
I know there's good inside me, you know. It's.
Yes.
And the goddess literally turns her back.
Yeah, it's not like the goddess, it's not like the goddess doesn't hear her. The goddess does hear her and pretty much says, no.
I find
they had a line specifically that said something to the effect of Teela told it to her after she failed at healing her. She said, "This is a specific intentional mark of the gods."
Right.
Your leg.
Yeah, your mark.
Basically, you have been marked by the gods.
Yes.
For some reason. Know?
Yeah, and of course, naturally, and I really kind of love that because of course, Merrick feels like, "Why have I been cursed?"
Yes.
By the gods. And
sort
yet...
WTF, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
And yet,
I'm a good
you know,
person.
As somebody who loves these types of stories, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully it will come back as something that actually ends up being the blessing, the thing that makes the difference, and it's going to be the reason why she was marked, is because she is the only one to do it.
I think it's cool that the organizer is the one who has the darkness inside of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't some pure paladin or somebody who's so full of good and righteousness that, you know, you can't help but follow them. This is somebody who's an escaped slave, you know, who has obviously some kind of darkness. She can suck the life out of people and actually draws life force in order to cause spells to
Which Teela calls out earlier specifically as necromancy, which is something that she has never seen before.
Yeah.
So Merrick has tried to learn magic, and she's learned some magic, but there's some power in her that she doesn't understand.
So, yeah, you're saying she has an innate power, and
she's like a wizard sorcerer.
Yes, I agree with that. I guess there is consensus amongst all four of us. Excellent.
To, again, draw it back to D&D rules, you know, which
But that's essentially the leader. That's the person who brings everybody together. You know, it's not somebody who's a secondary character or a foil. It's the primary person. So I think that's kind of awesome.
Yeah. And as I understand it, rumor has it in the third movie, her name will be Merrick, who must not be named. So
Ooh.
It should be pretty fun.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, hence the necromancer. I get it now.
Because she has a darkness inside her.
Mm. Yes.
It is not the will of the goddess.
What?
Like, why? Excuse me?
Why? Your leg. It's a deliberate mark from the gods. A reminder of the darkness inside you.
I'm good. I know I am.
Yeah, you're not fooling anyone there, sister.
No!
A reminder. Interesting.
But she is good. And if you think about...
good, but she has evil in her.
Yes, but I mean that it's a mixture. I mean, who is completely good? I mean, completely good would be boring, don't you think?
No, Castillo's obviously completely good.
Yeah.
Whoa. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
But I think that's why the rogue is more interested in Merrick, if you think about it, because you know, isn't there a song now that's popular about men liking bad girls? I'm just saying.
Is there?
Well, not just that. I think he's got a certain kindred spirit amongst, you know, the two of them, especially,
yes.
You know, there's definitely something.
I mean, of course she has both sides. So it's kind of like let's see if I pronounced this right. Yin and Yang.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I find people like characters like that very fascinating, as Spock would say, fascinating.
But you see, clearly her fury is out of balance, so that's why she's the witch.
So, could we maybe ask each other what our favorite parts of the movie were?
Yeah, go ahead and ask.
Hey, guys, what was your favorite part of the movie?
I'm glad you asked.
Well, Brian, I asked that question just so I could hear your voice.
Well, you're welcome. And granted, I am not Jake Stormon. I am not Dagon, so I do not have quite that very sexy voice. favorite part.
I think you're selling something here, mister.
Yes, I am. You know, that's hard to say for me, because there were a lot of parts that I liked. But nothing that I could really zero in on and be like, oh, that was just awesome. I really love that. It was more for me the fact that there wasn't really any point that I was like, oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Because in movies like this, we won't name any names, Dungeons and Dragons, you know.
Right.
excuse me. Sorry. I was choking on my scotch. I apologize.
Okay.
There's so many times where I'm let down by the bad tropes. And in this one, I laughed at the way the tropes worked really well. Like, she walked into a cave and said, I'm going to go explore something in deeper. Walked around the corner and there's a treasure chest.
Yep.
Yes.
And it was so like Skyrim. Like, look, there's a random treasure chest. Somebody seems to have left here. And look, it's full.
That's a good analogy.
And there was some, but rather than like groaning at it, I actually smiled.
Yeah.
And that actually might be the moment, because I remember thinking, I'm so glad that made me happy and not annoyed as crap.
And the music there was sort of I have to use the word tinkly and magical.
Yeah.
And you know, being blind, I especially pay attention to the music. And I was thinking to myself, ooh, I think she found something kind of special here and it'll be momentous in some way. I hope actually that they do something with that little statue that she found.
Well, yeah. I think that was sort of like the delayed meet cute. That was sort of like the first romance between.
Don't you think the first meet cute was when they were on the hay wagon?
Yeah, that was definitely.
Yeah.
Well, this was the reinforcement of that with the sex doll. I mean the romantic the fertility symbol. Yeah, not the sex doll. Sex doll, something else. But so my favorite part. I'll go after Pete.
You had to do that, didn't you?
I did.
Absolutely.
All right, I actually had two favorite parts. One favorite part was when they're discussing how best to take on a overwhelming body of orcs.
Yeah, I love that part too. I wish Chris had the clip for that.
If only. My second favorite part is...
Goddess doesn't want it.
Yeah, Goddess does not approve.
My second favorite part is they're being chased by some kind of spiny beast. And he turns a corner and wipes out a little bit. And it's appropriate because if you watch everybody dashing away, they're all slipping and sliding on this kind of mucky tundra that they're running across. And it was just kind of one of those nice little things that whoever is doing the CGI kind of threw that in to show that, yeah, it's consistent across everybody.
Nice.
You know, nobody's immune to something as simple as nature, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like the radical changes between, the green areas and, like, the snowy areas. And I went, that's ridiculous. There's no place like that. And then I realized, no, they're actually filming outside in Utah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And
so and it is realistic.
Let me tell you, that can be, you know, a couple miles apart.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that
in
well.
The right, yeah, in the right season, you can go up the mountain for 20 minutes and hit the snow, and down below, you're
snow,
in a valley.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like halfway through the first time I watched it, I went, no, wait a minute, these are real places, and they're not, it's like the same day.
Yeah.
Very much could be.
Yeah. So my favorite part, I love the line when Merrick goes into the bar and she, I think... It sounds to me like she slaps down the ogre's ear, and she goes, "And how much for an ogre's ear?"
And Hammer said, "That's worth a drink."
And that's worth a few drinks and a smidgen of respect.
Correct. Yes.
And I'm like, "Oh,
which is
really?
All she wanted anyway."
I mean, that is what she wanted. But you know, he's so like the way he delivers that line is so perfect, and like, okay, you've succeeded a little, but you know, he thinks. You know, he says a smidgen of respect, but you know
he's impressed.
Much, right. Yes, he's impressed.
You went out. Totally, you know, you tried to do something. You went out. You didn't get yourself killed. Yes. Welcome to the club.
I mean,
you brought an ogre's ear back. What the heck?
It was a freaking ogre. I mean, come on, that thing was huge, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it was usually a giant.
I did think of my favorite line of the whole thing. It actually happened in that same scene with the Skyrim treasure chest.
Oh,
And that was when Teela was healing Thane. And she said, embrace the pain and welcome death should she beckon you.
Yes.
Because one of my least favorite things in both tabletop gaming and in movies is healers, because I consider them to be heal bots. It's annoying. There's no threat. There's no threat. You know.
They like, just lay on hands. Boop.
Yeah.
You got
boop,
10
yeah,
points.
Bop. Yeah. And I hate that. And whenever I game, there are no clerics allowed. They are not allowed in my party. Cannot play one. I'm a horrible storyteller. I will not allow it, and I will kill your characters. Because to me,
death in your game.
No comment. but it's very much. I like the fact that she couldn't do it while they were in the middle of fighting and running. She had to wait until they were away from combat. And when she did, she was like, "I'll be honest, it's going to hurt like crap, and it might not work."
Yes,
and
I like that.
Work.
Not just that,
but I think like
it was so. I think it was so. He was also so deeply wounded that's why he went into such a deep sleep. You know, he was resting.
But, you know,
right.
Guys,
he's taking that time down.
Poor Thane.
Yeah.
Jesus, that guy got the
shot.
Oh man, he's like the Iago of this movie.
Oh, totally. Like, totally.
He's got to be like the worst tank ever.
Yeah, but wait, Chris, you've told me when you've played stuff on the computer that if the tank falls, it's the cleric's fault. You said that many times.
Blame the healer. I played the paladin. You blame the healer when you drop.
You know. So I mean, I've heard you swearing, and you know.
Goddamn healer.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Learn to heal, noob.
Oh, I don't know if you talked over me, but I totally agree with you, Brian. That, I really enjoyed the fact that it took her some time to heal. Like when after she heals him, he says, "You're so beautiful."
Right.
Yes.
Apparently healing somebody feels really good.
Right. And to me, that just felt like him saying, "I'm really like, wow." But all he knows how to do is like some shtick.
Right.
And it was really funny because that was one of my favorite lines that Dagon, that Jake did, where I felt like what he was saying was, wow, that was really cool. But the way his character says it is, you're so beautiful.
You're so beautiful.
And he did really great on making me feel that subtext there of he's just really impressed. And that's just what his character says out of
Was it Thane that said it or was it Dagon?
I thought it was Dagon who said that.
I think it was Thane, but I am blind. So maybe I mistook the characters.
You know, I could be misremembering it. Ooh, because okay. I may or may not have been drinking scotch whilst I was watching that movie as well.
That's okay. Memory state dependent.
Yeah, well, because I thought it was the guy that was wounded that said it, but
there's a lot of good points we're getting to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
There's a lot of good parts of this movie. One of my favorites was a part that reminded me of the first time that I went to a convention with Pete and we had to share a room.
Who's the man here?
Okay, I totally confused.
And the answer was, it was me, but that's what
yes. The answer was, you the man.
That's right.
Oh, that's in the scene I don't like too much. That's the scene where he gave the slave back.
Yes.
To the evil dude, and then he was beating her.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't like. I mean, I know you have to have bad things in movies, but I don't know, because I teach kindergarten. Yeah, I so just
that's
live
because
in,
if that's the case, you better go play Grandmas and Kittens, my dear.
I know, it's like a land of rainbows and unicorns and dragons and happy minions. And
I do have to give a shout out to the guy who played Paragus Malister, which is the original guy who took her from was gonna go beat her when we meet Thane and his
He was the guy who Thane fights and ends up stabbing.
Correct. And he ends up, you know, making threats to him and whatnot. That's right. my buddy Bobby Jayne. Mm-hmm. And I loved that scene because it made me laugh so hard.
Oh my god!
Because it's so not Bobby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He plays a really good bad guy.
Yeah. He plays a fantastic asshole.
Like, you just want to slap him in the face or kick him in the balls. Ooh, I'm not supposed to say that on a podcast.
Sharon.
I know.
Too late. Chris already broke the explicit tag, so.
Yeah, I think I did.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know.
I meant his beach
ball. Who's the man here?
It's me.
that's me.
I am keeping that one. Are you ready to rate this movie?
Yes, I am ready.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, Brian, how do you rate this movie?
You know, I'm going to say it's 4 gold pieces. However, I'm going to trade one of those gold pieces back in because I think it's a future investment. I think I might get more back in the future for it.
All right. Interesting. So it's a 3?
It's a 3 that I think over the... Over the course of the next 2, I'm expecting to get 4, 4.5 back. So.
All right. That's cool. Okay. Pete.
Me.
On a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, how do you rate Mythica, A Quest for Heroes?
Story and character development, I would give it a 4, but overall, because there were a couple of production hiccups and some things that kind of dragged, I'm going to give it a solid 3 with 5 silver.
Okay. You're not going to talk about the propane tank again, are you?
What's that now?
The propane tank.
What about it?
The one that was visible in the background.
Yeah,
the
that was kind of one of the problems. The other problem was dark filter.
Yes. Oh, that was... Oh, yeah, guys, film in the daytime.
Yeah.
Sharon, on a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, how do you rate Mythica, A Quest for Heroes, first of a brand new trilogy of indie fantasy movies?
Well, you see, I'm a brave girl, and I'm going to rate this movie the actual 4 that the other two gentlemen were too afraid to give it.
I'm not afraid to give it. I genuinely feel that it's a solid 3. Yeah.
Sharon.
There were just too many sexy guys in this for me to give it a 3.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I'm sorry, but
And they are. I can't deny that. If we were in the same room together, I would be jealous.
I would have a drink with any of these guys and ask them if I could feel their muscles and do salsa dancing with them.
There you
because I actually do salsa dancing. I just said doo-doo.
Doo-doo.
Okay.
Chris, what would you rate this movie?
How many gold pieces would you rate this movie?
Well, in comparison to the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Ugh.
Oh, my gosh.
Why would you go there?
Just give it a 5, then.
That's a 2. This is a 4.5 for me.
This is so miles above a D&D movie than the D&D movie was.
Indeed.
That I really kind of have to, you know, because of the budget and the efficiency with which they have crafted this tale, yes, there are flaws, yes, there are issues, but they created a story that was Merrick's story, but it wasn't just Merrick's story. Mm-hmm. I think they crafted a great beginning, and I'm going to go ahead and give this baby the 4 gold pieces it deserves.
All right.
Now, of course, like anything, we have to temper that with our expectations, and so, I mean, it exceeded it vastly. Exceeded mine vastly.
Oh,
so
no, that's mine as well.
It's keeping the 4, so.
Well, and this is the hilarious part to me, is if you go off of the assumption, because obviously we don't know what their budget was. We know it was a little bit less than $500,000, let's say.
Right.
Okay. The budget for the Dungeons & Dragons movie was $45 million.
Doesn't that make you angry almost?
Oh.
Yeah, that's what, 200
megs bigger? I feel a little sick right now. That's really, ugh.
It actually makes me really happy, because that shows what you can do if you give people who care and who have talent and who really want to try to do something that does it justice for the things that we love.
This is the hypothetical that you put forth in the D&D review.
Mm-hmm. Did I? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Well, you said that what happened was somebody said let's make a D&D movie, and then they took it out of the hands of the people who like D&D.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
this is
the same movie made by the people who like D&D.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think it's pretty clear that some of the writers and producers actually know something about the game, because it's just obvious.
And
when
the genre,
you watch this,
in general,
and the genre, and respect it, and don't think we're a bunch of stupid dweebs, or geeks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they.
We'll try
honored...
not to market specifically to the geeks. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they honored the game and the lifestyle and the folks that play.
And you know, the effects weren't great, but they weren't like Tom Baker Doctor Who kind of era effects.
No,
so.
That's true.
Right.
And there were some really great effects, like the spiky cat thing that was when Merrick was on the ground and you saw it in the background and it leapt into frame and it slid a little bit.
Which is what I mentioned as my second favorite.
Yes. I lost my shit. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was like, did you see that thing? It did the thing.
Yes.
What is our next movie?
Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire.
Ooh.
I love you, man.
Seriously. Seriously.
I don't even know it, so I
Oh, it's if you want hot men.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is hot, steamy Matthew McConaughey tattooed all over his body. I think yes.
Okay.
That's all, yes.
Because I need a little break from singing kindergarten songs. I've been singing nursery rhyme songs all day today, and something. Maybe a little scotch, maybe a little, I don't know. But
Brian, did you want to come back for that?
I can come back for that, sure.
That'd be awesome.
Perfect. Excellent.
Yeah, definitely. Love to.
So, Brian, how can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on the interwebs. I'm actually on IMDb under Brian Vance number 3, being as there apparently are a couple of others on there. Also, you can find my Trilogy Productions Facebook page. And you can find me on YouTube under Trilogy Entertainment doing some Skyrim. I'll be starting that up soon and should be pretty fun. I basically, I drink scotch and play Skyrim. So
there you go.
Awesome. All right. And you can find us on the internet by going to our regular site, dragonreel.com. That's reel with 2 E's as in a reel of film, where you can find us on iTunes. And if you like us, please go to iTunes and give us a review and rate us, and we will give you a shout-out on the show.
And if you really like us, make sure to like our Facebook page.
Which
and
is
comment there.
Facebook.com/DragonReel.
Yes. It really helps us, and it helps me to help Chris to stop crying.
I do.
He does.
Every week that goes by where we don't get a review, I die a little inside.
And
Well, that might be motivation for people just not to leave reviews then.
Hey.
I'm sorry. Oh. I meant to say. Sorry.
You had it right the first time. You had it right.
He's such a sweet guy. He even
he is. He is a sweet
he even reads to his blind wife. Isn't that romantic?
Holy cow.
I know.
That's
wow.
Kind of cute.
All right. Oh, you can also follow us on the Twitter.
On the Twitter, we are Dragon Reel. Or you can email us at dragonreelpodcast@gmail.com. Please do. We'd love to hear from you. Go to our website. Leave your rating of the movie that you have just heard us talk about. Go and watch the movie yourself because, you know what? You should really see this movie.
Plus, if you like fantasy films, it's up there.
If you like fantasy films, you should be listening to our podcast.
Yes. Definitely. And you can find that one on Amazon and also check it out on contv.com. That's contv.com. It's a great website that's kind of basically Netflix for nerds.
Excellent.
It's built for the convention crowd and is actually the place where they distributed Mythica for its initial viewings. And you can find that one and its sequels up there, as well as many, many, many other fantasy films. So.
And you can also find Mythica and its ilk on Aerostorm?
Correct. Aerostormentertainment.com.
There you go. And I believe you can actually buy the movie there as a download that you can retrieve anytime you wish.
I believe so, yes.
So that will do it for the triumphant return of the Dragon Reel podcast and Mythica, A Quest for Heroes. Join us next time when we will go over Reign of Fire as per Pete's request. Music in Dragon Reel is by Maggie Sansone and is used by permission. For more of her music, go to www.maggiesmusic.com.